Good afternoon. You're listening to Cannabis Corner on WNHHLP 103.5 FM, broadcasting live from downtown New Haven. We are streaming live on TuneIn Radio and NewHavenIndependent.org. We're also streaming live video on Facebook and YouTube. Just go to your Facebook page, look us up, or hit See First to see and hear all the great programs we have here on WNHHLP. And you can also find Cannabis Corner streaming live on the Green Haven Media Facebook and ProCannabisMedia.com. Good afternoon, everyone. It is Monday, March 11th, 2024. Welcome to Cannabis Corner. I am your host, Joe the Weed Guy, Joe LaChance, and I am joined here today, of course, by my illustrious co-host, Uncle Lou, Lou Vega. How are you today, my friend?
I'm doing well, doing well. Just spending a little time working on some paperwork here at the computer. It's kind of been one of those days of business and work. Just work. We had a nice weekend.
Yes.
It's been an overall good week. You can't be too mad at that. And I'm excited about what we have going on in the future. I'm really, really excited about something you're going to talk about in a little bit, throughout the show, and we have some cool guests. So I'm pretty excited. I hope our Joe, you know, we were talking about something.
Yeah.
How long have we been doing this now, bro?
Dude, I'm glad you brought that up.
How long have you been doing this now, Joe?
Dude, our first broadcast was in March of 2018.
Wow.
We have been doing this 6 years this month. So this month officially is our six-year anniversary of being on the air and being the only cannabis radio show, broadcast live over the airwaves. And on the internet, of course, but not exclusively on the internet. Yes, this year, this month is our six-year anniversary, and I think we need to celebrate that. And I think we're going to make this month is our celebration of our six-year anniversary.
6 years of talking weed. And with that, we have to give tons of shout-outs. I definitely want to shout out the original OG partner and co-host, our wonderful partner, Kebra. You know, who has been through every one of the trials and tribulations that we can imagine together.
Yeah.
She's doing amazing things, still an amazing part of everything we do. Always wishing her the absolute best as she continues to traverse and do all the amazing things she is doing. She's not just a cannabis activist, but she's an activist for the people.
Entrepreneur. I mean, she said
great mother, grandmother. You know, you can find her all over the place. And now she's doing a ton of on-the-hands work on the board of directors with in New Haven, helping the social equity money actually go to those small businesses. She's on the board of the organization that's helping disseminate all that money out to the regular organizations that are out here, the community-based organizations. So, you know, she's really been at the forefront and really pushing forward.
But
that was our original co-host.
She helped us get going. You know, keep it, absolutely.
So we wanted to make sure to
big
get that
part
big
of the show.
6 years, Joe. It's amazing. We've had some great people join us and some great people behind the scenes.
Our producer, Harry Draws.
Producer, Harry, man, has been there through thick and thin, through every surgery, through every Monday that you can imagine. And I really appreciate him very much.
And
you know, this will be something we'll talk about throughout the entire month. And
yes.
Kind of so I'm excited you reminded us about that, Joe.
Yeah, no, it came to my mind. I was happening to look on our SoundCloud, and there it is, March 1st show. And I'm like, and I listened to it. And we'll post that. We'll post our first show this week just so people can
Nice.
see what it,
I dig it. I dig
how
it.
it
I dig
started,
it.
you know?
How it all started. We're and you know who we had on? We actually had on our first guest was the gubernatorial candidate, Jonathan. Oh, he was the first guy running the medical marijuana program. We had a
There you
really good
go.
guest on our first time.
And
And
we
that's
continue to do that. Highlight
all the
government,
time, yeah.
highlight personal industry, highlight advocates, highlight business. You know, we've been able to be a semi-impartial reporter of what's going on in the space with, you know, with some of our own interest in there as well, but at the same time, making sure to give a voice for literally everybody in the space, good, bad,
Exactly.
indifferent, some that love it, some that don't love it, some that want to speak their words. And that's kind of what we've been able to do here on the cannabis
On the
corner
corner.
now,
That was the point of the show,
you
to
know.
expose the industry, to promote the industry, to help promote legalization, get it through, to keep people aware of what was going on during that whole process. I mean, we were a big part of it, and we still are. And we enjoy being a big part of the community. We love it. And we want to just thank all our listeners for tuning in for all these 6 years, to Harry, our producer, to the New Haven Independent and WNHH for putting up with us for
Oh,
6 years and all our weed talk and all, they took a chance. Weed wasn't legal when we were on the air. We was just
no.
medical. They took a chance. It was a public. It's a public radio station, and we're giving out public information. So I think it's great.
We
So
are public.
we are public, and we're celebrating our anniversary. So this month, Cannabis Corner 6 year anniversary, and you'll be hearing more. You'll see some of our old. We'll post some of our old shows, and it's a good time. But
Good
Kristen,
time.
I
Yes,
want to
sir.
introduce now with us, lovely in Kristen's corner, because we have been talking long enough. The lovely and beautiful Kristen Souza, how are you? What's happening in the corner? Every week it seems to get more and more decorated.
This is all of the stuff I took home from my store. If I spun the camera around, I would be mortified. It's just a pile of sp This is the pretty section.
That's all. Well, that's why do you think I have a green screen,
Yeah,
Come on
exactly.
now.
So, but no, it's good. I'm digging my corner. This is my little workspace. So, I work from here and do the show from here.
Great. No, great. So what's happening? How's your weekend? What's going on?
What is going on? This weekend was good. Nothing necessarily industry related. I, spent some time with the kiddos. My little one has been asking to get her ears pierced, so we took the plunge, and she's the happy recipient of some studs this morning, so she's feeling like a big girl. We got her some new shoes and some earrings. So,
I
big day
used to
at the
have my I
mall.
used to have a pierced ear,
Yeah.
Yeah, I
You're
did it
not.
myself though.
Yeah.
The piece of ice.
Yep. So now, how old is your daughter that you were just a roundabout age is fine because
10. She's 10.
that. So my son and my daughter both have pierced ears, kind of coming from that Latino side. I got my ears pierced when I was like 5 years old in the back seat of a car. My father like broke out his switchblade in his pocket and stuck a hole in my ear, and he was like, "You want an ear piercing? Here you go, buddy."
One of my friends did. Hey, you want to pierce your ear? Here, go get me a piece of ice. Here, boom.
Yeah,
All right. I do that with my nose. I'm gonna like point
So.
out one of my weird insecurities now, but I have a scar on my left nostril because when I was in high school, my friends and I were like, yeah, you'd like light a safety pin with a lighter and use some rubbing alcohol. Yeah.
Yeah. We used to have to put a piece of string through it to make sure it didn't
Congratulations to your
close.
daughter for doing it the right way.
I'm trying to encourage her to not do what I did.
Yeah, congratulations on doing it the right way. I guess you guys had a nice afternoon out. We
Yes.
on my nice morning or something out, spent time together, got to do. I think those are those cool bonding experiences that now are interesting. My son recently got his ears pierced, but I'm kind of the I'm covered in tattoos if you've ever seen me, so I'm kind of like the home pro at this type of stuff. So
You
home
would have
pro.
done it, right? Did you
Yeah, I
do
got a little piercing. I went and got I did the right thing and I got the little piercing guns. And I
it?
have them, and I sanitize them, and we do the whole thing. And I, he got his ears pierced recently. And my daughter, my 13-year-old daughter, who is Doc Martens and Sugar Skulls and everything, kind of,
Love it.
yeah, the whole thing. She's a little, she's a tough cookie, one might say. So, she's got two ear piercings now. So she's got 13 with two holes in her ears. And, she's, they're fun because as they get there, now she's like, I got my ears pierced. I'm the rebel. And they're teaching us about meat in school. And I don't know what to say because, I'm like, well, I don't know what's up. She was like, they told us marijuana was bad. I was like, really? They told you don't do drugs and marijuana is bad. Oh man, what else they tell you? They said illegal immigrants do drugs. I was like, wow. Okay.
Gotta love these curriculums.
I was like,
Yeah, they gotta dig. Yeah, you really gotta love them. We don't want to get too deep into that, but
yeah, and
The
it's
DARE
interesting.
program is, yeah,
Let's
go ahead.
talk about what's going on in
Oh yeah,
the
kids, it's a
community.
world, man. They are amazing. They keep you entertained, and they keep, and congratulations on your daughter, spicing up life and taking her mother and making her do all the stuff. So
As opposed to the older one who went to college, didn't tell me about a tattoo, and then came home. I'm like, nice picture on your arm. Oh, sorry.
oh,
I was
well,
like,
there you
yeah.
go.
Look, I thought I told you. No, pumpkin, you left that one out, but love it.
All
Thought I
right.
told you my ass. Excuse my butt.
It's all right. We're allowed to say ass, just
Okay.
not the other.
You
The
got
other
one
bad
kid who's
ones
at
aren't
least asking
allowed.
permission, the other one that's like, well, too bad, mom.
All
I'm an
right.
adult now.
So what's
Anyway.
going on, Kristen? Gotta move it along now.
We do, and I'll be quick. March has, I think I've hit a lot of the stuff that is going on in March. So this is really just friendly reminders on a few things. This evening at the Burn and Learn Center, they are doing a hands-on cooking class that kicks off at 4:30. So that should be really fun. Everything they do is really educational and interesting, good vibes down there. So yeah, if you're interested, just go to their website, burnnlearnct.com. So burn and learn. Click the link for calendar or events, and you can sign up right through there. There's no fee to attend. Donations are always welcome to help them put on these events that they put on for the community. But that's tonight, starting at 4:30.
Okay.
On Thursday, there is the monthly Connecticut Cannabis Small Business Alliance meeting. So that's the second Thursday of each month. Next month, we'll be kicking those off in
Live. We'll
person.
be doing live events.
But
First one
this
will
one
be at the
still.
Burn and Learn
Yep.
on the 11th of April, I believe. But this one is Zoom. And if you're interested, you can get a hold of the Zoom link. Go to, the website.
Yeah, it's a ctcannabisalliance.org, or
Right.
you can go to at CT Cannabis Alliance on Instagram, and there's typically a post that will have the link in there.
And then I think Duncan has an event, a dinner coming up on the
That's
15th.
Friday, yes. So that's the Luck of the Hirish. It is a paint night. So it's going to be paint night with Sea Creations. So it's a guided painting experience. Sea Creations is leading it. And the ticket price also includes mocktails, food catered by a local catering group, and some goodie bags and giveaways. So should be very fun. So Luck of the Hirish, you can still sign up for that. Go to Better Ways LLC website or on their Instagram.
That's, you said Friday night. That's something I think I may go to. I mean, I like to experience a dinner like that. You know what I mean? I haven't had one in a while.
Corned beef and cabbage. I
I
don't know if he's doing corned beef and cabbage, to be honest. It didn't
hope
say,
not.
but.
I hope not. I hope he's doing something cooler than that. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to talk to, that'd be cool. So that's the 15th. And that's
Yeah.
pretty much about it. Is there, I don't recall anything else coming
No,
up. It
the
is
only
St.
other
Patrick's
one.
Day. Just want to remind people, St. Patrick's Day this weekend, go out and be green, but not with green beer. Just indulge in the green.
Green in general. Yeah, that's
Yes.
about it. The only other thing I was going to mention is Connecticut is kicking off some of their outdoor activities now that the weather is warming up. So their Blazing Trails Hiking Club runs April through October. So follow them. They do something each weekend, either Saturday or Sunday, and they pick a new trail. So it's a different location across the state each week. So if you know, if it's too far away one week, it'll probably be right in your backyard the next week.
Yeah, we're trying to bring them down this way. I spoke to Kevin about that. We have a lot of great parks down here, and he wants to
In
expand
your
throughout
area?
the state. Oh, yeah, it's beautiful down here. So, yeah, hopefully we'll get them down here. I love that. It's a great thing that they got going on there.
Oh, I dig it. That's about
They
it.
bring the green out to the nature, bring Mother Nature out to nature. Well, very good, Kristen. Well, I'm very excited about our next guest coming up because they too have an anniversary. So we're all celebrating in the same month. With us right now is Mark Shepherd, and Mark is the president, the owner of NECANN, the founder. And NECANN has been developing engaging conventions for the cannabis industry since 2014, expanding market opportunities for businesses, entrepreneurs, investors, educators, patients, advocates, and consumers. We feel our approach of creating unique conventions focused on the current state and potential of each local market we come to is a superior alternative to the generic national canna convention franchises that pop up everywhere. Rather than focusing on what the cannabis industry can do for us, NECANN takes a collaborative approach with the local industries and communities for our conventions, which has resulted in a consistently high return for their exhibitors, sponsors, attendees, and the local cannabis market as a whole, allowing everyone to benefit and grow. Welcome, Mark. How are you today? It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Joe. I couldn't have said it all better myself.
There's a great intro, and it is all true, everything that was said. And we both have anniversaries coming up this month. This is Cannabis Corner's 6-year anniversary, but this NECANN convention is the 10th. Am I correct?
Yes, and it's a funny thing because even though we missed a year because of COVID, we actually did two conventions in 2015. So it's not just our 10th year, it is our 10th convention.
Right. So it's come a long way. That's all I can say. You've come a long way because, you know, you got two people right here in on this radio show who were at the first one.
Oh, no kidding.
And yeah,
I'm really excited.
We were both
about
there.
This.
And well, you remember, I had a table there. I was
yeah,
at the
you
school.
Know, and that's one of the cool things about no. Mark, don't you worry. One of the cool things that I do remember, and I'd love to share the story anecdotally, it's that, you know, your events have really spearheaded from the grassroots to now very well-produced, well-run. And, you know, when people come out to this event, they're going to be in shock and awe of how many vendors are there, how many information booths, the amount of connections that you're able to make. And it's such a large-scale event that it's humbling to know that I was at that first convention and it was something that was, you know, developing with the industry is the easiest way to say it. So as the industry grew, the event grew. And then when the industry was still very, you know, grassroots and still very small and still people full of dreams and ideas, it was there to help support it. So NECANN has been part of that. I've been able to go and take part in many NECANNs and it's helped my business. It's helped my network. It helped reconnecting friends. So I'm really excited about this event coming up, and I'm going to be at the next NECANN as I always try to be. And Joe, you know, I remember Joe having his Go-Go Joe table starting out and pushing it. And you want to talk about super grassroots. You saw Joe in all his glory, pushing all his products, really having a great time and getting to see, you know, him being him. And it was really cool. And then we'd go outside and we'd smoke a couple joints, but you know, that was never really allowed, but, you know.
It was at a small place called The Castle, right, Mark? And
Traditional,
were,
like a beer fest hall.
That was right. It was like a beer, and there were 20, 30 vendors? I don't know. Exhibitors?
You know, it's funny, because somebody else said the same thing. There were actually 80.
80?
The,
wow.
You know, and I know, because I called them and moved them all in myself. So, yeah, it was... I mean, it was such a small space that it probably felt like less, but yeah, it was, everybody was an 8x10 and there were 80. I just looked at the old map last week.
Wow.
Someone else said, like, what were there, like 30 at the first one? I was like, No, there's actually quite a few more, which was, you know, that was part of the, like, who knows what's going to happen when we, you know, when we first did it. Had no idea how many booths and how many people were going to come.
Right. But and some of the people, like Kush Lee, are still coming.
Yeah. We actually have seven people that are at, that are exhibiting in 2024 that exhibited at the first show.
That's excellent. That is excellent, Mark. That is so great. And even before the show, I mean, a lot of people don't know, but you were working with Dig Boston, correct? Covering the emerging cannabis industry.
Yeah, I mean, I actually, and I was at the, you know, I was at the Phoenix newspapers for about 13, 14 years before that. And, you know, as a progressive all weekly, one of the, you know, one of the causes was the normalization and legalization of cannabis. And so we were writing about it all the time. And that's why it just became a natural to say, like, hey, we're going to do an event. Let's see if we can get a critical mass of cannabis people together.
Right, right. And it's just amazing, like Lou was saying, to see how the event has grown as the industry has grown, not only in Massachusetts, but all over the country, you know. And when was your first one out of Boston?
We actually did four shows that first year. We did one in Rhode Island and in Portland, Maine that same year. We did, I think, Rhode Island in like June, and then did Portland in, I would say, September. Or maybe.
Right. I remember those. Right. Right.
You know, and that was, you know, those were tentative until we did the Boston one. You know, we just didn't know, but we had already outreached people and we had holds on the venues. But I was like, if the Boston one bombs, we're not going to do two more. But it worked out. And really, that was sort of the key when you mentioned that sort of, like, you know, building with the community community and the local industry. And sort of the norm in the trade show world is the idea is you have to gather up all these massive national companies. Like, if you're building a mall, you have to have the four corner stores. And traditionally what people would do is go around, get a critical mass of national exhibitors. And then when they have them, say, okay, now we're going to plant this show in Massachusetts, put up flyers and everybody's going to come. And, you know, we sort of took the opposite approach and said, if we can get everybody local together in a room and get a critical mass, won't the national people have to come? And it worked out, because they were just like, you know, they came after we had gathered locally and everybody met each other and said, look, how do we do all business with each other? And then once it was clear that there was a will and a passion and a critical mass of talent and work ethic locally, then the national people were interested in this market.
Right. And that's how it grows. And that's exactly how it grows. What was your first one out of the New England region?
You know, there's a couple of asterisks, because we actually got reached out to by somebody in Reno who was launching his own and was looking for partners. And we took a minority stake in the Reno Cannabis Convention, of all places. So we actually did that for a couple of years. It was fun. It was good. But it just, you know, wasn't large enough to be sustainable. But I think it was a good show. You know, that was, what, 2016 and 17. But the first non-New England show, I would say, that's, you know, still viable was New Jersey, which we opened up in 2019. And, you know, we're doing our fifth annual show in Jersey in September. And that's our second biggest show. And it's actually the third largest show in the country.
Right. And that's even close enough to take a drive down there. I think it's, you know, it's important for us in this area to travel around and network with people in other states, because that's how a small company becomes national, right? You start forming partnerships. You go meet these people at a convention or something, you know, or at the after party, you have a drink with them, whatever, and you form a partnership. Your company goes from a local company to a national because you have met somebody at one of these conventions. So people should know that you can drive, and it's fun. Me and Lou, we've done it all. We used to go to them all.
And there's also, you know, there's just education and innovation to be found there. You know, you have a company and you fill a niche in Massachusetts, and you go down to that New Jersey show, and you maybe you can't break into a partnership there, but you see your counterpart who's successful in New Jersey, and you see, wow, they're doing these two or three things I didn't think of, or they're giving a session on how to succeed, and suddenly you're taking a quantum leap in your own business just by educating yourself. And that's the biggest, one of the biggest overlooked parts of networking to me. It's like, of course we all want to make new business and make new customers, but that knowledge networking is just such a huge part. That and the cannabis industry, where, you know, there's always negatives, and I think sometimes people dwell too much on them. But for me, I think the majority of the people are very kind and generous and sharing, and there's a very collaborative approach. And I think a ton of knowledge gets shared at these events.
I think, yeah, that is another key part, you know, besides the exhibitors and the vendors and the people get to promote their business. There's the whole educational aspect, which, again, NECANN has really expanded on and gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, that goes along with it, that people really need to take advantage of. Because I know personally, just by sitting in on some of those sessions, and you learn a lot about the industry, not only to help your business, but to help your personal self move along in the industry, navigate through the industry, because you're hearing people who, like us, who have been in it 10, 15 years, who have been doing it a long time, who built that little business into a national company. And you get to sit in a room with these people and get the knowledge from them. And it's a great, great experience. It's sometimes almost you think it could last a week. You could do a week-long conference.
You really could, Joe. And that's a funny thing. I tell people this all the time. In Boston, I get you know, people hurt feelings or irritated, like, oh, Mark, you know, I've applied to speak at Boston in 3 years. Why, you know, and I'm obviously qualified. So what did I do? Why are you guys boycotting me? And then, you know, you have to have the conversation with them. You say, listen, we had over 700 applications, and, you know, we handpick some people. We invite them to come. I go, really, we're trying to fill like 70 spots. So if you're qualified and you apply every year, you can expect to get picked like once every 10 years.
Yeah, you can't have the same speakers every year. And plus, the industry is innovating. Like, hey, you want to have AI on this year. And last year, I know you had crypto. These are different things that you want to add in. And I know this year you added a whole finance segment to the show. And every year you seem to do that, add a new component. And because that's how the industry is growing, you can't have the same people every year. There are new players.
Absolutely. And if we had the time, yeah, I could fill 2 weeks of speakers that are qualified. You know, we go through and we look at all the sessions. So in the first thing we do is you just kind of delete the ones that, like, yeah, like, look, this doesn't make sense at all, or it's not qualified or whatever. You delete those, you still have over 500 great spots to choose from. And you're like, yeah, I could put these out for a month.
Yeah. And you got great people working for you, sorting through that, making sure that the programs are very broad spectrum. They cover every aspect of the industry, you know, from finance to growing to, you know, starting your own business, compliance. I mean, you do everything in there from soup to nuts.
Yeah. And the important thing there, and this is unlike, I hate to talk about other shows, but unlike most other shows, it's not just a who's who of the sponsor list. And we make sure the first person who goes through and vets those speaker applications, they don't know who the exhibitors are, and they don't care. And they're looking to say, what's the best content for the paying customer to come in and get value for the money they paid to listen to these sessions. And believe me, I hear it all the time. I come from media. So I come from the world where every big advertiser calls me up and says, why aren't you writing an article about me? And I'm just saying, it doesn't work that way. You didn't buy an article, you bought advertising. And that's the same way, you know, my sponsors and exhibitors, Mark, you're pissing us off. You know, we've been the major sponsor 2 years in a row.
Why aren't I speaking? Right.
And I have to say, I go, yeah, maybe stop having your head of sales submit a proposal where they talk about your product for 45 minutes, because I'm never going to put that on stage.
Right.
And it just, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and that's a good way to do it, to separate the education part from the actual sponsorships and sales part, because they don't need to know what each other's doing. It's better to keep them separate. You don't have that pay-to-play type thing.
By default, the exhibitors and the sponsors have qualified people. So by default, they're gonna have good. They're gonna have good.
And they're there anyway.
You know, and I'm like, and yeah, and you know they're gonna show up.
So right. Like,
yeah, you are hopeful that they put in
good. On time.
But when they just submit, hey, this is our marketing person. They want to talk about our new product. I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
Great. Let them talk about it at the booth.
Right. Send them to the booth. I'll bring the podium. They can put a microphone there. See how many people listen. Zero. Yeah. Fun stuff.
Yeah, people. Yeah, they want education. They need to. Yes. There's so much coming out too. You know, this is the thing about being in an industry that is new and emerging, especially being there from the beginning. It's constantly changing, and NECANN, again, you have to constantly has to adapt and move along with it and grow with it. You can't just be doing the same old thing. Like, and that's why a lot of these other conferences don't last. I mean, we know there's other people who tried to come into Boston one or two times, and then they're not there anymore because they're not embedded in the community. You have to be embedded in the community.
That's the lesson that we learned very early on. It was, you know, I don't want to say easy, but I will. It was easier in Boston because we're here.
Right.
And when we first left and we went to New Jersey and Illinois, I was like, wow, yeah, nobody here knows who we are. We have no credibility. We have no... You know, they've heard of NECANN in Boston, but they don't owe us anything. They don't trust us. They don't know us. And that idea that you're just going to, you know, say, okay, everybody come and speak at our show and everybody's going to line up to do it and come is not true. And you have to put the hours in beforehand, and you have to provide value before you ask for value. And that's really
right.
The mind and hard work of going into a new market is offering yourself up and saying, how can we help? Forward this industry 9 months, 12 months before we do a show and start asking for favors and help on our end. We've got to prove our value, you know, before we ask. And that's
you always connect yourself first before you go in with the local already people embedded in the community and work alongside with them.
Yeah,
I know it's very collaborative with the community that's already there.
We typically are doing that in two or three markets where we haven't booked a show yet. And, you know, that's where in Maryland, we started reaching out in early 2022.
Right.
And making connections and building relationships and, you know, helping people where we could with messaging or making connections. And, you know, our first show is going to be in May of 2024.
Yeah, you got to see the market and get involved with the local community first. Make them trust you. Let them know that you're bringing in value to them. And you can provide value to the community that the convention is going to be of great benefit. And they seem to always work out very, very well. How many states are you in now?
It's our first time doing 8 in 1 year.
And, wow.
We almost had a staff mutiny. So some people thought that was maybe too much. But I was like, which one do you want to cut? And you know, we're at 8. And just a note, we're not doing Maine this year for the first time since 2014. We had a partner up there, the Medical Marijuana Caregivers of Maine, who they do a show. It seemed like the two shows were maybe cannibalizing each other a little bit, so we partnered and did it together last year, and it was great, but they used that show as their fundraiser for their trade organization for caregivers. And I was just like, it's tough for us to split. And then we're really just taking away from them. So we're going to walk away and just promote them and their show. So we could have had 9, but we are just doing 8.
Right. Well, and that's good. You kind of moved the market along. Maine, you started there. It was one of your first shows. You moved the market along to the people who are actually embedded in Maine and are benefiting, like you say, as a fundraiser. That's a good thing. And and you've got Maryland, Illinois, Michigan, right. Michigan too. So there's, you know, the sky's the limit, and we know more states are going to be coming on. And I think it's just great that you built it from that one small, you know, show at the castle to now one of the premier brands as far as cannabis conventions go. And you brought up a good point with Maine. You know, certain markets can only support one show a year. You know, that's
almost all of them.
Right. You know, there's, you know, maybe Texas, California,
Right.
big
Florida.
states, right?
Not
Can
up here.
but not a state like Maine, Rhode Island, Connecticut, even Mass. It's been proven.
No, there were in 2019, there were five conventions at the Hines, and you know, I'm not,
Okay.
you know, not bragging, whatever, but the other four were not sustainable. And obviously COVID had a huge piece in clearing the air, but already three of the other four were not coming back. You know, they didn't reserve a spot. So you can't do two shows in one market. They'll both be mediocre.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. No, I agree. I agree. So this year, NECANN in Boston is actually on a Friday and a Saturday. It's a little bit different than the normal structure. Is there any reason for that, or just did you
Yeah.
want to change it up a little?
No, I mean, all of our other shows are Friday, Saturday. NECANN Boston switched to Friday, Saturday, Sunday in 2018 because in 2017 we actually had the fire marshal
Right.
standing outside the exhibit hall not letting people in. And so we had a lot of irate people. I just didn't think of it, you know, because we had such a huge walk-up and all these people bought it. So we immediately said, well, what if, you know, we'll have to cut off ticket sales for Saturday and then we'll sell on Sunday. And then 2018, we did that. We had 1,000 people show up on Sunday. So I said, all right, the demand is here. But this year, we finally had a third hall upstairs open up. Typically, that's always been rented. So now that we can flow people between three halls, I'm confident that, you know, you can say, look, you can't come in this hall right now, but you can go upstairs. So, and then, you know, then come back down because people don't stay in the exhibit hall all day. They come and go. So now we're very confident, you know, we can house another 2,000 attendees at any given time because we have a third hall.
Great. Oh, so that's actually an expansion. That's awesome. That's great.
Yes. And it's great because honestly, you know, nobody wants to do a 3-day show, and certainly nobody wants the third day to be Sunday. So
Right.
just get rid of it. And you know, and I always told people, I just said, look, I got 1,000 more people that want to do business with you on Sunday, so please stay. Now they don't have to. Everybody's happy.
No, that's very, very good. And you've got, of course, the awards this year are not on the Friday night. They are on Saturday afternoon, right?
Well, it's the NECANN Cup, which has
Oh,
always been on Saturday
that's
afternoon.
right. Yeah,
The
right.
difference is we actually, now that we have a third hall, we're able to put a legit big stage up rather than, you know, kind of having people crowded in the exhibit hall and make it difficult to move around. We're going to have sound and a big stage and make a big to-do about it.
Oh, nice. So it's going to have its own room.
It's in the upstairs hall. Now, since we expanded to the third hall, they're gigantic, so we can't
Right.
fill it right out of the gate. So we've got it about half filled with exhibitors. Then we have two programming rooms way in the back, and then right in the middle, we're having a big lounge area with coffee and water service and seating and networking area. Then a big stage for the NECANN Cup Awards. That's going to be on noon on Saturday.
Oh, that's
That's
great.
great.
That is great. I can't wait to be there. I will definitely be up there this weekend. Tell me a little bit about the Green Market Report Finance Summit. That's something new.
Yeah.
That's kind of an add-on, but I think it's really very beneficial. It could be very beneficial to people.
Yeah, and finance is one of those topics that, you know, we always cover it and we always have it as a part, but typically, you know, you're doing 45-minute sessions and then people have tons of questions and, you know, I don't want to say it's 101 level stuff, but it's not an incredibly deep dive, you know, as you're
Right.
talking about something as complicated as cannabis finance. So, you know, I've known the people from Green Market Report for some time, and Mary Pembleton, who used to be at MJBiz. We talk all the time, and we talked about collaboration, and that's the idea we came up with. That's sort of one of their, you know, main focuses is the finance and money side of cannabis. So they're actually running that. It's a separate ticket, and it's all day. You know, it's an $85 ticket, and it includes a full lunch and cocktail hour at the end of it. So just a great opportunity for people who have very specific questions and needs and networking wants for finance. They can attend the convention and come in and out of that, or stay in there all day and do the convention on Saturday.
Right. Oh, so that's great. And then that's a very specialized thing. So people, and again, like you say, as the industry grow, you found a need for this because
Yeah,
more
oh,
and more
absolutely.
people need this financial advice.
Yeah,
You
and
know,
that.
I love Oh, I was just gonna say, I love the differentiation or the different topics. So if someone's only interested in finance and they want nothing to do with the expo floor, they can spend 2 full days doing that. Vice versa, people that just kind of want to, network, mingle, check out the brand, they can do that. You could spend 2 days watching every speaker session and still miss some of your favorites because you've got multiple tracks going at the same time. So there's something for literally everyone. And I was joking with Joe before. See, I'm different. I haven't been going since the beginning. Last year was my first time, and I kicked it off with Boston, and it was overwhelming in the best way. You have a lot going on, and it was great. It was one of the best experiences ever. It was really great.
No, I appreciate that. It's a bit of a revelation. We bring on new people and things, and I always just say it'll all make sense after Boston. You know,
Yes, exactly.
people and they're kind of struggling, and I just say, look, it just keep your head up. I said, you'll do Boston, then you're going to understand. It really is just sort of unique event.
Yeah, it's a whole experience, and yeah, it can be overwhelming for your first time.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But in the
Very
best
much
way.
so. So, and I also see now this year you guys have an after party on Friday night. It's Nova Farms. It's right here on the website.
Yeah,
What?
this is the first time we've actually, had an official after event. And Joe, you and I have talked. I'm a bit of a nervous Nelly when it comes to liability, and so I don't really want to put my name on
Yeah, you
something.
let other people do it. Yeah, right.
I'm gonna be asleep when the bad stuff happens, so I don't want to be responsible for it. So, all kidding aside, the people at Nova Farms did such an incredible job. Last year with their event at Royale, they had Cypress Hill there and everybody raved about it. And they approached us about, let's make this the official after party for NECAM for your 10th anniversary. And I trust them and I like them and they're handling it. And they look slightly stupid and Lil Jon, and it's just going to be crazy. And all you need is your badge from the show to get in. It's obviously you have to be 21, but it's free admission. And I hope to make it past 9 o'clock.
I'm with you on that.
That should be a
Power
good.
through some coffee, we got this.
Yeah. No, it's a long. Obviously, for us, it's a very long day with another long day after it, and the move out is long too. But we do our best. The rest of NECAM will be there. They set up like a poster dummy of me to, whatever. But they'll all be there.
Hey, at
Seymour
least you get
Shepherd
the
cut out.
Sunday off this year, right? You got Sunday off, you get to sleep.
Sunday will be good this year. Yeah, that'll be nice because it's there's so that's a funny thing is so many people they go, oh, I hope you hope you have get some great time off. I'm like, yeah, there's actually so much to do the Monday after a show.
Yeah.
So when the show ends on Sunday, it's like, yeah, it really ends on like Wednesday because there's about 3 days of post work to do. So
Right,
that's all good.
right. Yeah, now speaking of other markets, we are coming. NECAM is coming to Connecticut this year in October, right? October 4th and 5th, the second one, the second annual NECAM convention coming. That is going to be at the Hartford Excel Center. And last year we had a great show. It was a good showing. I thought we had a really good time, a lot of good education up there. But I think this year the industry is even grown even more again. So now this year, NECAM Connecticut kind of we're going to grow with with
Right.
what is going on with the industry. So I think we're going to see a lot more new dispensaries that have come in, new businesses that have opened, and I think it's going to be a great showcase for the Connecticut industry this year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's all about the opportunity, and as opportunity grows, it grows the show. And you and I have talked about it. The Connecticut show last year, it's I wouldn't have thought, but that was the largest first year show we've ever had. In terms
Right.
of number of exhibitors, like
That's
I look
phenomenal.
at the first year in every market we've been in, Connecticut had the largest turnout. And Joe, it was driven so hard by local business, like the vast
Yeah.
majority of it was, and certainly the attendees were. So it's that sort of perfect first year for us in that we got a critical mass of local businesses and entrepreneurs and local attendees that wanted to network and grow with them. And just you couldn't be in a better position, you know, to come back for a second year than that. It was just a phenomenal experience last year.
No, it really was. And I'm really looking forward to this year doing some really good things. You know, a lot of good new education. You know, we do have grow rights here in Connecticut now. So we're going to have a lot of great stuff about growing. And it's going to be a great convention this year. I'm really, really looking forward to it. And that'll be in October. So, you know, we got a lot of time. We got to people start reserving. If you want to get involved, you know, just contact us and start reserving your booths now, because it is going to fill up. I do believe this year. I've already spoken to some people, and some people are very excited about it already. So I am looking forward to that. It's nice in the fall. You know, it's going to be nice up there in Hartford.
Absolutely. And it is important to note that, you know, we're in the XL Center again this year. We are looking for another venue, simply because the room that they have us isn't large enough. And we did sell out last year. And, you know, we did everything we could to fit as many booths as we could. But we did eventually have to stop and shut it down.
That's true. Right.
So there's really no chance that that isn't going to happen again. So certainly if people want premium position or even any position, just saying, hey, I'll check back in at the end of the summer and buy a booth in September, that's probably not the best move.
No. And the thing about the way it is, you can reserve a booth now and pay later.
Right.
So you can get your spot. So if you want a premium spot, you want to be on the end, or if you want to be in a good place where people are right by the door, pick it now.
Right.
Pick it now. Then you got it held.
Yep. No, absolutely. I think we do a pretty good job with local companies in mind in regards to, you know, both our booth pricing and the payment structure. We really, I feel like if we just looked at national companies, we could probably charge a lot more, but I think we would lose all of the local people who really need support and help as they're starting out. So we make it as accessible and as pay friendly as possible, let's say, for people. So if you would like to get in and you're not sure how, just reach out. We'll figure out a way to get you in there.
Yeah, we can definitely talk to you. And
to go along with that, as we get into some of these smaller events, like just like as NECAN has grown, as companies grow, as individuals grow, you know, maybe you end up starting with one of the local events here, maybe Connecticut, if you're local Connecticut, if you're local Massachusetts, maybe you start in that area. And then follow NECAN along as it continues to move around. You know, it opens you up to new demographics. You may start here in Connecticut and you might want to do one of the shows in Massachusetts, or you might want to do the Jersey show. You know, it builds that longevity and that partnership that I think is super important as well, you know, because it's not just an event and it's not just a place to kind of do business, but it becomes lifelong friendships. I know that one of the most exciting thing is in and out of NECAN is seeing these friends, making these connections, making that networking. So, you know, if you are an entrepreneur starting up with something, there's a place for you. And if you are one of the big boy or big girl doing the thing, there's a space for you as well.
And yeah, that's a good way for the larger companies to support the community, you know, to come on in and support through NECAN. So, Mark, it's that time. How do people get a hold? How do people get tickets for NECAN this weekend? What are the times? You know,
sure.
Give us all the nuts and bolts, social media, everything.
The show is Friday and Saturday, March 22nd and 23rd. The Expo Hall opens up at 10 o'clock both mornings, goes till 5 on Friday, I think 4 till Saturday. Box office on-site opens at 9. We still don't have a payment processor for ticket sales, so you do have to pay cash if you show up, or you can just show up and order it online when you're there and type your name in. We'll get you a ticket. If you want to pre-register, if you want any information about the show, you go to NECAN.com, NECANN.com. There's also a link for a downloadable show app that's free. So, you know, once you buy your ticket, download the show app. It'll give you the floor map. It'll give you all kinds of cool stuff in there. And then the last thing, we also are coming out with a 10th anniversary magazine. And I know, you know, people are familiar with, you know, what you would call a show guide. Typically you come to a show and it's got, you know, 50 pages of ads, and then it's got the floor map and the sessions and the speakers, which is all useful and good. But we connected with my old friends at Dig Boston and Chris Ferrone, who does
Talk Great
Demo. and they put together 20 or 30 pages of really cool content on the cannabis industry, on the history of the industry and community in New England, some really, really great retrospective stuff, some future forward-looking pieces. So it's actually a magazine, not just a program guide.
It's like a keepsake.
Absolutely. And it's got a little 10th anniversary comic book style cover, which is a tribute to one of my favorite old comic book covers that no one will understand but me, but that's fine. So it's kind of cool. I hope everybody gets a chance to check that out as well.
Oh, it's kind of brilliant. I love that.
Yeah,
well, it's an important milestone, the 10th year anniversary, really, and it's good to give something back to the community again. And so they can find out everything at NECAN.com. And again, if you want to find out about any of the other shows, including Connecticut, there's a link right there for Connecticut. You can click right on for exhibitors. You can pick a booth right there, or you can find out a little more about the event, where it's going to be, but also New Jersey. If you want to take a trip down there, there's all the other conventions on there.
Absolutely.
So check. And there's, you know, videos of past conventions. So if you want to know more about NECAN, go down on NECAN.com. But the best way to find out about NECAN, obviously, is to go up to Boston next weekend and find out a little bit more about it. Go hang out at the party, you know, after. It's a great weekend in Boston. And there are great accommodations you can find reasonable, right, Mark?
Absolutely. There's a list of partner hotels on the website. You can book straight through there. And, you know, we really... Same with the booths. We really work hard to make it affordable. And again, you've got a 300-plus exhibitor spread over three halls. Two-day access to the exhibit hall is just $55. If you love to get educated, you have access to 5 programming tracks, 4 workshops running all day, both days, and that ticket's just $115. So like $55 a day for 8 to 10 hours of content and 3 exhit halls. And,
right.
You can't beat it.
And then the networking and all the great fun times you're going to have, too. I mean, you're going to make lifelong friendships, because I know I have.
Absolutely.
I know I did through NECAN, too. So, well, great, Mark. We're just about out of time. I want to thank you for coming on. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And thank you for everything that you and NECAN have done for the cannabis community throughout the years. And we look forward to seeing you up there in Boston.
Same, and happy anniversary to you guys. 6 years of doing a show like this really is, when I heard you say that, I was like, 6 years? Like, yeah. you guys were renegades 6 years ago. So, you know, kudos to you. That's awesome, and congratulations, and best of luck in the future. We'll see you guys in Boston.
All right. Thank you, Mark. That's NECAN.com. Thank you. We'll see you up there in Boston.
You got it.
All right. Uncle Lou, any last words?
Just the same thing as we try to make sure everybody does. 6 years of staying happy, 6 years of staying medicated, and now we're just staying high, baby. Stay happy, healthy, and high.
That's it, brother. All right. And Kristen?
I need a good sign-off line, because I don't have one.
Be classic.
There we go. You know, I'll come
Stay
up with something
classic,
cool.
Baby. That's
Quick
all.
Quick plug, I guess. Speaker applications for NECAN Connecticut are open. They close August 15th. So while Boston is coming up, if that's something that you want to present educational content on, start thinking about that. I know August feels far away, but spring and summer are going to fly. So start thinking about that and submit it. You can submit it now. So,
and yes,
it.
And if you're interested in exhibiting and if you want to work something out, you can contact me, because I'm actually the local representative here for NECAN. As he said, he works with the local community. You can follow me, Joe the Weed Guy, at Greenhaven Media, or at Joe the Weed Guy on all social media. Stay tuned for the events we got coming up, and we'll see you all next week. Take care, everyone. Harry, hit that music, baby. Yeah. Okay. Peace out.
I was gonna clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, hey, 'cause I got high. Yeah. because I got high, because I got high, la-da-da.